It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for the middle of the week, the first prayer meeting Wednesday of the month of October 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, and that is where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Madcap Multimedia wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Oh, yes, yes, indeed. It's all waiting there for you. Pick out a screen name and a password, jump right in, you'll be met this evening by the early arrivers, Little Thunder, Otto, and BT Blom. And not entirely sure who's going to be moderating this evening besides me, but I'm a moderating. And there's Heather popping in for the beginning of the services. So add your voice if you'd like. There's a good conversation that takes place there every evening during the 3 hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and here we are, like I said, the third day of October 2018. It's been a lovely day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Trump, Virginia, Stan. And it is the middle of the week. It is Wednesday. It is downhill to Friday, and that means it is, in fact, prayer meeting Wednesday on The Horn, something which I know I look forward to every week. I need a spiritual renewal, and I know you do as well, based on the things that I hear from you. So with that having been said, well, we can kill the drum loop there. Yeah, goodbye, drum loop. And we can get right to the business at hand. Brethren and sistren, you will now, if you pop into the chat room, and Stephen is in there as well, you will now be moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, spacing guild master, has folded space on what must be another lovely day in Northern California to become Man Cave. Yes. Sparky said, I saw the Bob signal. Yes. We flashed it off the glistening, snow-covered peak of Mount Lassen. That's what we did. So, thank you for popping by, Sparky. I know prayer meeting Wednesday is kind of a pain in the ass for you, but I really do appreciate you taking one for the team. Let's see. We have thanks to send out, as is the case. We try to, me and that mouse in my pocket, we. I try to always make sure that we begin the program by thanking the subscribers who take care of about a quarter of the month's fundraising, and their subscriptions roll in day by day, and that makes it possible for, well, and so in, I try to, you know, when we do, when folks contribute during the program, I thank folks during the program, and then there's no snow on Mount Lassen. That's not a good sign, Sparky. It must have bounced off the shiny, something shiny on the peak. I don't know, maybe a hiker left a beer can up there or something. At any rate, we do have folks to thank who are subscribers to the program, and again, we try to thank them at the beginning of every program. You know, when God, I hate to. I really do hate iOS 12. It has made a mess of older devices. So let's see here. Let's do this the other way. Okay, so today's subscriber thank yous via PayPal go out to Janice in Wisconsin. Thank you, Janice. Thank you very kindly to Gene and Ann across the pond in merry oldie England. Thank you to John in Talibandiana. Thank you, John. Thank you very kindly to Renee in D.C. And thank you to Stephen in California. Thank you, one and all, for being subscribers. Let's see, I think may have a couple of others. Thank you to Angel. Thank you very kindly indeed. And that's our subscribers for the third day of the month. If you'd like to join them, they would love to have your company, and it would be a big help. As one of these days, we hope to have 400 $10 a month subscribers, so that I don't have to do this, so that I don't have to do anything but thank folks. But thank you very kindly to all of our subscribers. Thanks also to our Patreon subscribers. Thank you to Terrace. Thank you to Scott. Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you to our buddy Horst in Taiwan. Thank you to Nick in Ohio. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you to Tina in Maryland. Thank you to Jim in California. Thanks to Timothy in Oregon. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Andy the Angry Jew, our buddy Andy. Thank you to Hung Like Jesus. Thank you to John in Maryland. Thank you to the Nubian in California. Thank you to Barbara in Philly. Thank you to Stephen in Wisconsin. Thanks to Alec in Oregon. Thank you very kindly to Carl in Texas. Thank you to Ron in Delaware. Thank you to our buddy Steve in New York. Thank you very kindly to Karen in California. Thank you to Barb in Minnesota, to Kimberly in North Carolina. Thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Frank, sponsor of the Fab Machine. Thank you to Brendan. Thank you to Rico. Thanks, Marty. Thanks to Irwin. Thank you to David. Thank you to Kat. Thank you to John and Greg. Thank you to Joan. Thank you to Thomas. Thank you to Olds. And thank you to Robin. Robin with a Y. Thank you all very, very kindly. Those are the Patreon subscribers. And they, of course, their contributions roll out at the first of the month and take a couple of days to process. So just to make sure we know where we closed the evening last night, having fallen $45 short of the fundraising goal. We had a $100 fundraising goal last night, and it fell short by $45. So the fundraising goal this evening is $245. And brethren and sistren, I'm going to, the deacons have had a nice rest. Of course, they didn't have to work the last week of September because we met our goals. And we had a spectacular, simple but spectacular meal down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen before this here prayer meeting Wednesday. The little old blue-haired ladies sent the little old blue-haired men out to gently and slowly, low and slowly, smoke a whole passel of chickens, you know, with the beer can style, standing up. And then they brought them in, chunked them. They weren't all the way cooked, and proceeded to boil them for a little while, along with onions and garlic and celery. And then, once fully cooked, shredded it, put it back, added tomatoes and corn and beans and more onions. And, well, that, and then they put the spices to it. A little bit of curry, a little more garlic, black pepper in rich abundance, tarragon, bay leaves. And it simmered all day. And I tell you what, you could smell it all over the Cathedral of Common Sense. Did great big whopping pans of cornbread. And so for this this early October evening in this lovely, lovely Appalachian day, we had huge bowls of chicken stew and cornbread and butter that they left sit out till it was nice and soft and easy to spread on the warm cornbread. And mercy sakes, I mean to tell you, it was some kind of good. You really can't do better than chicken stew on a, because it's not quite cool yet. But it was nice. It was fairly warm today, but it just sets you right. And the deacons got their fill, and then they wandered over to the dessert table, and they set to with a will on the apple brown Betty. And well, they got them, some kind of special. And then the deacons trundled their massive bulk up a couple of flights of stairs, brethren and sistren, and stood around out in the parking lot for a good long while, smoking with the sinners. Until Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door with the horn solar-powered Cathedral of Common Sense cattle prod in hand, at which point they knew it was time to quit fiddling around, and they all put out their cigarettes, even the ones that wasn't even done yet, and they hot-footed it, lest they get something else hot, past Sister Carol, through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, down the center aisle, and, well, brethren and sister, they're waiting right here. And there's a sparkle in their merry deacon eyes as they hope to pass the plate amongst the faithful, so that we can knock out $245 of fundraising early on, so that I don't have to interrupt the sermon talking about the need to raise $245, brethren and sistren. Hallelujah, glory, amen. So I'm going to call the minister of music forward to lead us in the offertory hymn. The deacons are ready with their heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates with the PayPal button in the bottom, and they're going to pass it amongst the congregation. Just take it and press the PayPal button, put in whatever. Just remember, we're keeping the cathedral, the lights and the power and everything going here at the cathedral. Take it, pass it, and, you know, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, well, except the one you keep scrunched open just enough to make sure you don't get a concussion from the heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates, brethren and sistren. Take it, press it, pass it, and hopefully by the time we're done with the offertory hymn, we'll be ready to go forward with this year prayer meeting Wednesday. Brother Minister of Music, if you would come forward and lead us, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen. Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, wah, wah, bing, bang, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday upon the horn. Hallelujah, glory, amen. This broadcast is a-going out to those here in the congregation and all those around the world, and especially the shut-ins. Glory. I'm calling upon you, brethren and sister, to get up out of your seats. Get up onto your feet and scrunch and scrunch and wiggle and waggle and waddle and move without rhythm so you won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sister, and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. Amen, glory, and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid. And it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, live from the Cathedral of Common Sense, right here. Right here on the horn. The deacons are still moving amongst us. But Brother Steve has taken us down to only $235 to go in fundraising this evening. Thank you, Brother Steve and Sister Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Thank you ever so kindly. Amen. Amen. This is how we keep it all a-going. $235 to go. Thank you so much, Brother Steve and Sister Karen. I have an announcement before we get into the meat of the program. I've had a communication from David in South Carolina, Stan, who tells me we have apparently won the NRA lottery for today. We've got an active shooter situation holed up in a suburban home firing out into the neighborhood. Already 5 law enforcement officers down. Man still firing about 7 miles from my current location. And I know where that is. Stay safe, David. No kidding, stay safe. But, yes, the NRA death lottery has stopped on a little village in South Carolina. And, I hate that. I hate that. But, you know, this is the price we pay for having freedom here in Merca. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So, brethren and sisters, we got a lot to go into this evening, but we've got to do our Bible study first. And we've got some fascinating and enlightening stories to consider as we go there. For instance, let's check in at Azusa Pacific Universiti. Azusa Pacific Universiti is one of those, and it's old tax-free institutions because they're a Christian school of the evangelical variety. And last month, they passed a change to their code of conduct. Now, they still forbid students at Azusa Pacific Universiti from having the sexy time with each other. It don't matter, gay or straight or what have you. Nobody gets to have sexy time at Azusa Pacific University except the ones who have sexy time and don't get caught having sexy time. But they had said they had dropped the ban on romantic relationships between couples of the same sex. Well, I can tell you today that this apparently did not sit well with the people who give tax-free money to Azusa Pacific Universiti in their effort to provide an evangelical Christian education to young Azusa Pacific students who want to hold hands. The Azusa Pacific University Board of Trustees reinstated the original language from its code of conduct this week and said that the previous change was never approved by the board. We pledge to boldly uphold biblical values and not waver in our Christ-centered mission. We will examine how we live up to these higher ideals and enact measures that prevent us from swaying from that sure footing. They continue to insist that the only people who can have sex on this here planet is a married man and woman. They state any deviation from the biblical standard is an opportunity for repentance, grace, and redemption, so that as a community, we might honor one another and glorify God. The code of conduct says students may not engage in romanticized same-sex relationship. Romanticized. So that means that if it's just quick and cheap and dirty and there's no feelings involved, well, I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Azusa Pacific Christian Evangelical University has an LGBTQ community on campus. They call themselves Haven. They're a support group. The university refuses to recognize them as an official club because, of course, they're full of demons and sin because of how they love each other and how God, their God that they profess to believe in, made them to love each other. Yeah. They were thinking about creating a pilot safe space for LGBTQ students. Dozens turned out at the Office of Student Life when they had the first two meetings of the new program. And now that they've seen who turned out for it, I guess maybe the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals of Azusa Pacific Universiti, now that they know the names, they can turn them out and let them go to some heathen school. Mm-hmm. And by the way, according to Campus Pride, that's an organization that supports LGBTQ students, and they have a list, and Azusa Pacific Universiti is on it, and it's the shame list. Azusa Pacific Universiti is one of the least LGBTQ-friendly campuses in the country. Although I gotta admit, I gotta figure that even Azusa Pacific would have a long way to go to catch up with the sickening racists and misogynists and homophobes there in South Carolina stand at Bob Jones Universiti. So there's your moving hand of Christ. in higher education today. Well, let's go ahead and move into the certifiably insane portion of Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And for the certifiably insane portion of Prayer Meeting Wednesday, there's no better example than Rick Wiles. Now, Rick Wiles wakes up every morning expecting this one to be his last one on Earth. Not because he's going to shuffle off this here mortal coil and get all Shakespearean and go be worm food. No, he gets up every morning expecting to just fly right off into the clouds. Great philosophical and theological doctrinal debate on whether he's going to fly off naked or fly off with all his clothes on. But he's going to fly away, oh glory, he'll fly away. But in the meantime, every day when he doesn't fly away... I know. Matt in San Francisco, ? Gay people go to the Bob Jones University? My head hurts. Yeah, I know, but sure. And, but this is the hardcore. You got to figure, maybe some people figure that out while they're there. Wandering around, wondering, why do I feel so hated? Oh, wait, maybe I'm gay. Just like some people go there and say, hey, why do I feel so hated? Maybe I'm black. Damn. Yeah. Oh, a quick update courtesy of, because Bob Jones University is just a festering cesspit of hatred. I mean, if you graduate with a degree from Bob Jones University, you might have the sufficient job qualifications to be an exalted noble Kleagle or a grand cyclops or a 33rd degree noble dragon or wizard or whatnot, but not much else. David in South Carolina, Stan updates us. Suspect arrested, shot his wife too. Can't locate the kids. The wife is a local lawyer. Oh dear. We'll watch for further updates. Thanks, NRA! The National Ruble Association strikes again. But anyway, when he's not, every day when he doesn't fly away, Rick Wiles realizes that he's got to slither in behind the microphone again for another day. Tax-free, explain to the people who listen to him, Emery and Marveline there in the matching Barca loungers and whatnot, what in the hell is wrong with this here country of iron? And Rick Wiles, through the gift of prophecy, has figured out how it was that Christine Blasey Ford, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, decided to come forward with her allegations, her satanic, demonic allegations, of course, against good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Roman Catholic, gun-dementalist, homosexual Brett Kavanaugh. You might want the hockey puck for this. Just saying.
Lodestar?
That's an odd use of the word.
So why are we bringing up Lodestar? Because last week, I floated the idea that these accusers against Brett Kavanaugh are MK-Ultra mind-controlled subjects who have volunteered to have thoughts implanted in their minds, and which would make them believe, truly believe, that those things happen to them.
You see, with... Alex Jones, sort of on hiatus. There's been a crazy vacuum created over in the right wingosphere, and you got people like nature and tax free Christian organizations abhor a vacuum. So that means that there's going to be people trying to work Alex's corner while Alex is absent from it. So I think I'm understanding this correctly. Implanted thoughts that become beliefs when they're triggered. You know, when somebody gets told, like when somebody gets told to go and play a hand of solitaire.
So that they couldn't be challenged, even if they took a polygraph test, they would say, yes, I believe this happened to me. And I threw that idea out there, that these people are mind-controlled people.
See, that's the thing, though. Dr. Ford didn't say she believed it happened to her. She said she was 100% certain that Brett Kavanaugh was the one who did what he did to her. There was no believing involved. There was no religion involved. There was no supposition. She testified from knowledge, not belief. You know, the way that Rick Wiles believes, for instance, that he's going to be caught up in the air every day and then spends every day getting disappointed. I'm glad I'm not Rick Wiles. It'd be such a bummer to expect to fly up and meet Jesus and just be flying up in the air with your thumb out, hitchhiking for a ride in Jesus' holy rolls, and it don't happen.
And then Edward came up with the... he connected Lodestar, because with mind control, you have to have a trigger mechanism. It's a word, a phrase that triggers the hypnotic state.
You know, like saying gator, and that makes Rick Wiles, well, it was Rick Wiles, wasn't it? Maybe it wasn't. It was Rick Wiles the one that had the golden retriever named Gator that barked at the demons in the blow-up spiders on the front lawn of his neighbor's houses every Halloween?
Yes.
So that whatever was planted in the mind of a person through hypnosis is triggered when they hear a trigger word. And so Edward said maybe Lodestar is what triggered Dr. Ford,
yes,
and these other women to come forward with these wild, crazy accusations. And so what happened today?
Wild, crazy accusations. I think the accusation would have been a little bit wilder and crazier if, say, young Brett Kavanaugh had been wearing big floppy shoes and a big red nose and a clown hat. But she didn't testify to that. She just testified that he and Mark Judge were stumbling, falling down, hateful drunk, and that they, you know, that Brett Kavanaugh tried to rape her. Tried. Did not succeed. Tried. Crazy allegations.
Charles Schumer sticks the word Lodestar into a speech on the floor of the Senate. So if we're right, then in the next day or two, there's going to be a new flurry of accusations. There's going to be something bizarre coming. It's going to trigger.
Bizarre.
It's really bizarre. Something bizarre is going to happen.
Yeah, something bizarre, like maybe the release of a police report from, Boston in the 1980s or so, and showing that Brett Kavanaugh threw the ice from a mixed drink on a guy that he thought was the lead singer from UB40. Red, red wine. Never mind. You know, crazy stuff. Which takes me back to something that Lee in New York sent just before airtime. Subject line, beer lover. Brett Kavanaugh's Senate testimony made it sound like he only drank beer. He liked it. He still likes it. Why am I focused on this? Ice. No, not the agency. Solidified cold water. I've had some alcohol in my life, says Lee. For example, champagne at my wedding. I do not know why Donald Trump would not partake in that ritual. But back to ice. I have never seen a bartender put ice in beer. Beer is given to the customer at temperature for serving. Why does this matter? in the account by Charles Ludington, Brett Kavanaugh threw the ice from his drink in the bar brawl. If he only drinks beer, why would the glass have ice? I often see hard drinks, cocktails, served with ice. So I pose these questions to the Horn community. Do you drink beer with ice? Have you ever seen anyone drink beer with ice? Do you think Kavanaugh's 1985 barroom drink was stronger than beer? Beer. A river of beer flowing over your grandmother's paisley shawl. Yeah, maybe he was drinking a highball. Or a whiskey sour. Or a Long Island iced tea. Or sex at the beach. That sounds more Brett Kavanaugh-ish, if you ask me. But, But watch out for those trigger words. Lodestar. Lodestar. Yeah. Triggered. You know it. Lodestar. He's a piece of work. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, Rick Wiles. And seeing how Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's been brainwashed, well, Rick Wiles knows who done it.
Radical Muslims who
are brainwashed.
They agree. All right, you know, put a suicide bomb on me. I'll walk into a school. I'll walk into a mall. And I'll blow myself up, and that's for the cause, all right?
All right.
So are the leftists now doing this for the cause of the revolution, which is they are voluntarily submitting to having a mind control hypnotist implant thoughts in their mind?
Here's the funny thing. You can ask anybody who knows anything about hypnotism, and they will tell you that you cannot be hypnotized into doing anything you do not want to do. You cannot be hypnotized into doing anything you are consciously or unconsciously unwilling to do. And he fundamentally does not understand why people engage in acts of suicide in places like the Middle East. They don't have to be hypnotized to do that. All they have to do is feel hopeless enough against a well-armed, well-trained, massively funded, occupying force such that it's the only recourse left to them. Whether it be someone in Afghanistan, in Iraq, or, say, in the occupied territories. That's it. That's all. Nothing more. Just hopelessness. Not hypnotism, hopelessness. Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line, this shit, and it is. Every day more stuff comes out about this Kavanaugh creep. The administration has announced today that diplomatic same-sex partners will be denied visas. So foreign diplomats will have to choose between work or being with their person. If they're already here, then they may have a couple of months to get married, or the diplomat's person has to get the hell out of America. I'm starting to rethink my choice of all Haywood Wakefield furniture from the late 40s to early 50s to furnish my home. These fuckers are working so hard, they're affecting my ability to enjoy mid-century modern furniture. I hate them. Lodestar equals load of crap. Don't let them take away the little pleasures in life. Do not let them do that. And feel free to, and I won't share them or anything. Feel free to send photos of your of the decor in Shea Matt. That must be just lovely. But all kidding aside, we got to have a way to compartmentalize this madness. And it does not require hypnotism. And we do not want to go to those hopeless places. These fuckers are working so hard, they're affecting my ability to enjoy mid-century modern furniture. I hate them. For stealing the joy and pleasure out of our very existence. Ron in Raleigh with a note, subject line MK Ultra. Little info on MK Ultra, since this crazy ass CIA program was terminated in 1973. It would be difficult for Dr. Ford to have been a part of it. By the way, yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the student massacre in Mexico City. Upwards of 40 university students were shot dead at the command of the president with the connivance of, wait for it, the CIA. Not only ICE should be abolished, I vote for the CIA as well. You're in good company, Ron. Harry Truman, who was involved in the creation of the CIA out of the OSS, the Office of Special Services, said that that decision had proved to be a mistake on his part. And after the Bay of Pigs, John Kennedy said it should be broken up into a million tiny pieces. Yeah. MK Ultra. It's not like I didn't give you the hockey puck warning.
That can be triggered with just a single word. And then these people truly believe that whatever has been planted in their mind actually happened. They could take a polygraph. They could be examined. They truly believe it because it was put there through hypnosis, through mind control techniques. Did we just watch a CIA mind control assassination, an assassination of somebody's character, of their reputation? Did we just witness a CIA takedown of Brett Kavanaugh? If this is happening, and you put this together with the Steele dossier and all the other things that have been done against the Trump administration, then we have a monster on the loose. A monster is on the loose.
Right. A monster. A monster, damn it. A monster. Of course, it's not a CIA takedown of Brett Kavanaugh, because Brett Kavanaugh is not going to be taken down. That's been made abundantly clear this week. Especially in light of the fact that the FBI has been severely curtailed in what it can investigate and who it can talk to. And it's all pretty much just going to be... It's a fig leaf. It's a fig leaf. It's a fig leaf specifically for Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Jeff Flake to hide behind. It's not a fig leaf for Joe Manchin. They don't need Joe Manchin. It's a fraud of the worst sort. Robert Jeffress, who runs one of the more successful gospel sharp hustles in the country as the head of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. He's trying to weaponize the congregation. What the hell do Christians care about who's on the Supreme Court? They're not supposed to be of this world. In fact, St. Paul tells them not to participate in the judicial process. Now, they take all that other stuff for literal, but not this. You know, cafeteria fundies, I guess. But St. Paul is perfectly clear. Don't go to court. But Robert Jeffress says, look, I have never seen conservative Christians as angry as they are right now over this debacle. Look, they realize now, conservative Christians, that the left is willing to do whatever it takes to cram their liberal agenda down the throats of Americans. Why these Christians are constantly fantasizing about things being crammed down their throats, I will never fully understand. Yes, I do. The latency is thick with these ones. Including destroying the foundation of our legal system, the presumption of innocence. And look, make no mistake about it, the reason the left hates Kavanaugh is not because of his judicial philosophy. It's not because of what he may or may not have done to Dr. Ford. The Democrats don't care one thing about Dr. Ford. They are afraid that if he is confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, he may chip away at Roe v. Wade. No, we're not worried about him doing any chipping. We're worried about him smashing. Becky, let me smash. And diminish the number of babies being murdered every year in the womb through abortion. Babies that we care about before they is born, but care not fuck all for after they are is outside the womb and they are on their own in the free market libertarian Christian paradise that is Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Conservative Christians see this. They know this is not a battle between Republicans and Democrats. It's a battle between good and evil, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and that's why they're going to turn out in the 2018 midterms. And I'm not kidding. The Bible, the St. Paul's epistles make abundantly clear that they that believers should not participate in suing in court. Mm-hmm. Cynical, that the idea that Democrats don't care about credible allegations of rape. I mean, if a fellow is inclined to believe in, say, Satan, you might tend to think that maybe Dr. Bob Jeffress was doing his bidding. You know? Yeah. And it's not a matter of hating Kavanaugh. It's a matter of recognizing that he is an affront to the rights conveyed by the Constitution of the United States. A woman's right, a human being's right to breathe clean air or have clean water, the right of we the people to hold the President of the United States to the same legal standards that apply to the rest of us. But no. If you're a multimillionaire Robert Jeffress, well, it's a battle between good and evil. And you, me, us, we, yeah, we're on the evil side of that equation. Sickening. Ron in Raleigh writes, why? Why are those men dancing around in kimonos and white pancake makeup and fans? Yes, I know. Because it's Kabuki theater. That's why. But we can't help it, the fact that we can't help opposing Brett Kavanaugh. Andrew Womack knows that. He's another white wing preacher, and it's beyond it. We have to do what we are compelled to do. No, this isn't MK Ultra. This is just straight up demons.
You know, I believe that the average person just would never act the way that they see some of these people acting, and they think, well, you wouldn't act that way unless it was real.
Yeah.
But it's like Rolf was saying, that this is, I believe it is pure evil. Mm-hmm. There is evil fighting to destroy lives and stuff, and I think that we've got some people in positions of leadership that are demon-possessed. I know this is not politically correct.
It's amazing to me. We normal, average, everyday people, especially Christians,
It's hard for us to really even envision that people could be that evil, that they could be so diabolical to, you know, assassinate an innocent man's character like this. Mm-hmm. But what we don't understand is how much those people want power. They worship that power, and they will do anything to keep it and get it. And it's time that we realize our enemy, not our enemy is spiritual, but that enemy is working through people, and they are willing.
That is flesh, but I believe it is inspired by demons. Yeah, I mean, this is a spiritual battle. We are fighting for the heart of America, and we've said this many times, but these midterm elections, I think, could be more important than the 2016 elections, because they've already said that they will impeach Kavanaugh if they win in the midterms.
No, they haven't said it. Andrew Womack is, of course, a liar. We know that because he's an evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian. Lying's what he does. We might as well name him Mufasa, the Lion King. But what's really disturbing here is this talk about enemies. Who's an enemy? Well, what do you do to your enemy? Well, you kill them. That's what you do with all your Second Amendment remedies, which these freaks wholly support. I mean, this isn't a dog whistle. This is just a straight-up command. If you don't get your way in November, take out your enemies.
They said that they will impeach Trump, and I mean everything that we've been seeing moving in the right direction is going to go back the other direction if these midterms go the wrong way.
It's so maddening in a way that we're down to this balance of now it's like between 5 to 10% of turnout will determine whether or not we can keep this going. If Christians only knew what is at risk right now and what God is doing on behalf of America.
If Christians only knew what's in that book that they thump so much and never bother to read, they wouldn't listen to these malevolent freaks. Yeah, yeah. Because these people aren't, well, I mean, they are. They're modern day Christians. But they would re-crucify Jesus Christ if he showed up in an instant. But we all know that. Yeah. I mean, listen to the comparisons.
And what chaos wants to get loose if we don't? It's like having a wild animal on the street, and are you going to leave your door open or shut the door and lock it?
Now we're wild animals. Well, what do you do with a wild animal? Well, that's what the Second Amendment's for. You shoot them.
Just shut the door on the devil. That's all you got to do.
I know I'm painting with a broad stroke, but liberals are crazy. Yeah. They are malicious. Right.
And so what do Emery and Marveline want to do with things that are people that are evil and crazy and malicious? James in Illinois says dog whistles are so 2012. Yeah, now they just scream.
They Someone are used to say evil. They have a mental disorder.
And the Republicans aren't as, I mean, there's people on both sides that are the exception, but as
oh look, some both siderism, how charming.
As a rule, liberals are vicious, mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vicious, and just because we don't want to see half of the country thrown back into the status of second-class citizens. Well, more than half of the country, women, gay people, people of color, you know, everybody but the white males. That's way more than half the country we don't want to see thrown back to being second-class citizens. But second-class citizenship is A-okay with the, you know, followers of Jeebus. But it's really the demons. Yeah. Let's check in with the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson and see how far he got into... see how far he got into that bottle of Maker's Mark, shall we?
Look who controls the Democratic Party. Pay attention. The Democratic Party is now controlled by angry, man-hating, God-hating, good women-hating, children-hating, the unborn child-hating women. They hate men. They hate good. They hate God. The Democratic Party is controlled by feminist women who hate everything that's good. Satan is their father. And they are working hard to get control, just as an angry mother does in the home. And if you are a child, boy or girl, growing up, and you love your father, and that mother does not love the father, she'll destroy you too if you get in her way. You can't.
And you know this, how, Jesse Lee? You got mama issues, Jesse Lee, daddy issues. Is that why that Maker's Mark bottle gets such a workout, Jesse Lee?
Cannot agree with your father. And so in the Democratic Party today, the beta males, who are girly men,
cucks,
cannot disagree with the feminist women. They chew them up and spit them out because they don't have the manness. They don't have the courage. They have been destroyed in the homes, and now they're being controlled by the women of the Democratic Party.
And see, if they weren't beta males, if they'd just be alpha males and slap the women around a little bit and teach them to submit like Christ wants the church to submit, we wouldn't have all these problems in America. Because it's the women's that are trying to rule America because demons. Like I said, I can't get there without a whole lot of bottled in bond help.
Those women who are controlling the Democratic Party hate men, hate God, because men represent God on earth.
Did you know that, guys? Did you know you represent God on earth? That's a hell of a burden. Get up every day, fix your coffee, your decaf, whatever. I got to represent God on earth today. Huh. I wonder, are there any Canaanites or Edomites around for me to slaughter? That's because, you know, if you're representing God, you got to make sure you're slaughtering people, because that's what God's good at, is hating people and killing people. And it's like hung like Jesus says, Lodestar. I saw Kavanaugh sitting in a taxi. Lodestar. I saw Kavanaugh smack a nun on the ass and stick his tongue in her ear. Lodestar. There you are. There you are, hung like Jesus. Representing God on earth.
Look at the Democratic Party. And then there are a couple women in the Republican Party. At least two of them are supposed to be moderates or something. They hate men.
They hate men. Is this guy real? I'm beginning to wonder if he's just an advanced, sort of an advanced experiment in animatronics from the Disney Corporation. They hate men. It's so confusing. I know, James. James is beta males are currently men. What were they before? Well, they were beta boys. Got beat up on the playground and didn't pull pigtails and didn't torment the little girls. Yeah, they're beta men, beta boys, beta splendens. I don't know. It's hard to discern these spirits.
They hate them. And those rhino Republican men, because they have not forgiven their mothers and overcome her identity and returned to their natural state of being, cannot handle it. That's why they sent a woman to do a man's job. And that's why you see white people, and not all whites, of course.
Not all whites, of course. Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh
Oh, God, not all, not all whites. Steve in New York, subject line, evangelicals. If they actually encountered Jesus, they'd scream at him to go get a job and pull himself up by his own bootstraps. Yeah, they would. Then they'd kill him. Lee in New York, subject line, Ninth Commandment. Howdy, Bob. Howdy, Lee. If only the Bible mattered to the religious. For example, the Ninth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Really? Not bearing false? It's all the way down at number 9? But, yeah. Just like Al Capone did not get punished for murders, maybe Kavanaugh can be rejected for just being a bad liar. Please pass it on to Joe Manchin. He should be able to say that he did not want a liar on the Supreme Court. Well, I have been. I've been calling. Oh, you, is it? Yeah, we know each other by name now. Earther, subject line, Second Amendment. Stuck beer cap, Second Amendment. Can't find the remote, Second Amendment. Stuck beer cap, Second Amendment. Butter still hard, Second Amendment. Then dominated by the Democratic ladies. Damn it, he's on to us. Gonna have to cancel the dominatrix for tonight. Yes, Nancy. I mean, Mistress Pelosi. I'm sorry, I just can't tonight. You'll be wearing the gimp mask for that for sure, Earther. Jack in Shreveport, subject line, hypnotized nuttery. Every time I try to think of what to do about all this nuttery, disinformation, and noise that goes out to people that may actually be affected by it, I'm clear on what won't solve it. More free speech. Because, see, back in a more somewhat innocent time, there was this idea that the remedy to bad speech was not to suppress the bad speech, that the remedy to bad speech was good speech and let the good speech win out, more speech and let the more good speech win out in the marketplace of ideas. That's what Jack's getting at there in Shreveport. Forces in this country, Jack says, have worked long and hard to sell war, to create demand and sell consumer crap, promote good images for bad corporations and market politicians and judges. American PR and advertising firms are very good at it, and they invest such large sums in it because it works. Oh, and add the religion industry to that set of firms, too. Well, they're just a different kind of PR firm. The tax-free kind. It's pattern and practice, says Jack, a clear and present danger and a long train of abuses toward inevitably the same end, all that stuff. The destruction of the American experiment and democracy for the unbridled sociopathic greed of a few. This shit needs to be stopped at the source. Yep. Of course, if you were to ask, you know, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, he'd say you have mama issues.
Eating their own. Destroying their own. It's a spiritual battle, folks. It's a warfare between good and evil.
Again with the warfare and the battle. And it's not a very long trip at all between spiritual and physical.
It has nothing to do with being male or female. It's the God that you serve. And the Democratic Party is of its father, the devil. And all the little Democrats running around represent Satan.
You know, one of these days, Jesse Lee's going to have Jill Stein on his program, except she's a woman. But when he says that, she can go, yes, amen, Jesse, amen. Because wasn't that her message back a couple of years ago or so? Almost 2 years ago. That all the Democrats are just evil and running around. Yeah, that was her message. On the other hand, there's Liz Crokin. We heard from Liz last when she was talking about the witches that hurt her finger or the demons or whatnot. But she's got a motivating fantasy too. And she just wants a nice white America where all the bad people are, you know, all the inconvenient people, all the people that keep her from being part of some theocratic nightmare out of the way.
So back to the confirmation hearings involving Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Lindsey Graham.
And yes, her finger is still bandaged where the demon made the shark eat it or something.
Specifically about military tribunals. Why would he ask that? Because they know. They know what's coming. The deep state, the globalists, the cabal members, they know they're screwed. They know what crimes they've committed. And they also know that John McCain never had cancer, didn't die a natural death or a death from brain cancer. The man was tried in a private military tribunal, and he was killed for treason. And for what, from what I'm hearing, from what I'm researching, he's saying, like,
you know, researching with her Ouija board and her magic eight ball. And that and the little fortune telling machine there at Chuck E. Cheese, research. Mm-hmm. It's amazing this John McCain was tried by a military tribunal and executed thing has obtained real currency over there as they try to fill the vacuum left by Alex Jones. But what lies underneath it, as loony as this is, what lies underneath it is terrifying. Because they want a military junta. They want Donald J. Trump at the head of a weaponized military operating inside the United States, holding courts of Star Chamber, and executing their political enemies. Sounds absolutely lunatic, doesn't it? But it's what these Christians want. They want purges similar to what history tells us was done by a few Roman emperors. Only in reverse. Back in the imperial day, they'd haul you in front of a portrait of the emperor and say, "Make an offering to the emperor and renounce Christ, and you can be on your way." And of course, the hard-headed asshole Christians would say, "Well, I won't do that," and so they'd take them out and chop their heads off, or feed them to the lions, or whatever was can crucify him a little bit, whatever was handy, because they would not comply, and because they were living in an absolute dictatorship. Well, now the Christians want to get even. The Christians want to see people, and by the way, let me just interject this here. If there are any Christians out there who want to say, no, the Christians don't, you need to explain to me how it is that these people who believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, walked the earth for 30 or 33 years, did miracles, delivered the good news of his saving grace, and then was crucified, and on the third day rose up and preached some more and then flew away into heaven, they all believe that. And that he is part of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that when they die, that their sins are all forgiven, and they're going to fly off to live with Jesus somewhere in the assholosphere. Which is what everybody has to believe in order to be a Christian. So, you know, it kind of like Jesse Lee Peterson said, "Not all white people." Well, okay, not all Christians, but again, what are the Christians doing about it? Because these Christians want to set up a theocracy. And by the way, they will be more than happy to declare the good Christians to be heretics and send them off for a proper head lopping. Hell, they may start breeding lions. Who knows? But you get the idea. Do you find the idea of a theocracy with military tribunals killing heretics and people who are insufficiently pure horrifying? Because I do. Because what this bleach blonde freak with a hunk of her finger gone, what she wants is what the Taliban did in Afghanistan. You know, when they filled up the soccer stadium and murdered women for exposing a little bit of hairy ankle because it was an offense unto their God. That's what these people want. Steve in New York, subject line, the cabal. Wait a sec, are we members of the cabal, or is Satan just our father, or both? Well, Satan's our father, but we're also all signed up in a fantasy cabal league. And, you know, if you had John McCain, you're pretty much out of the running for the season. As to Jesse Lee Peterson... James in Illinois says, I want him to call me a little Democrat to my face, and then I'll stomp his ass into a puddle. Yeah, see, they don't get out there where they actually have to face the people they're sliming. It's not like that. It's not like that video out of Orlando that I saw on Twitter today of the guy on the motorcycle that some drunk, a pair of drunk white assholes went over and kicked his bike, and he parked his bike. Carefully put the kickstand down, and then went over and with two punches, two lefts, just bang, bang, cold cocked the two obnoxious white guys who just collapsed like rag dolls with their sawdust cut. It don't work like that. No. I know. Megan says, John McCain? The hell is with the obsession with John McCain? Did he not toe their line enough? Do they believe he really died as a POW and the guy in the Senate's been an imposter all these years? No, Megan. They believe that he was mean to Donald Trump and therefore he deserved to be executed by a military junta. And they yearn for it. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar, subject line, Jesse Lee. You keep plying old Mr. Lee. I will be forced to kick the shit out of something. I had to pull off the road just now. Breathe, Silent R. Lamar, breathe. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, I have 50 quid. That says that one of these days, Jesse Lee Peterson will be unmasked and we'll all find out he's a white man in blackface. Ain't no black man named Peterson anyway, especially not with an E and then instead of an O. Maybe he's one of those undercover Norwegians working for Trump. Yeah, well now. But all kidding aside, we are a handful of states away from having a convention of the states to rewrite the Constitution of the United States. That's not a joke. And they're not just going to go in, gavel it in, pass a balanced budget amendment, and gavel it out. There's no way. Because the delegates to that convention of the states are going to want to do a whole lot more. Like making sure that never again will the Constitution be interpreted to suggest that people have a right of privacy. Because that's where we come up with the notion that a woman can control the workings of her own insides. And with the combination of the Convention of the States, with what we've got going on here, you know, this yearning for a military junta and an end to the Constitution itself, well, you've got a pretty much nightmare dystopian vision of the future. Arnold a little bit ago said, wow, if the Democrats are the devil, then what is the Green Party, really? Fucking Martians? It's about the size. Norblap 9, Arnold. Norblap 9. Arnold continues and says, these are battles that should have been won in the past. We should not be here now. Fuck these people. Well, the battles were kind of won, but then we rested on our laurels, and we forgot the advice of Benjamin Franklin, the apocryphal, I don't know if it really happened, but you know the story. Somebody asked him during the constitutional government, what kind of government have you come up with, Ben? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Well, from the greatest generation came home from World War II and said, well, we've beaten global fascism. I guess it's all Frisbees and wheat checks from here on out. Go home, get a job, build an economy, and it'll be the golden age of America. Three cheers and a tiger for us. We have won. Then along came Korea. Then along came the economic expansion under Eisenhower and then Kennedy. And hey, Vietnam. And hey, Richard Nixon. And hey, Watergate. And hey, Ronald Reagan. And hey, Iran-Contra. And we've never fully understood the absolute necessity of crushing the baser instincts of the white wing in America. And we thought that as long as they were just standing around and sniffing the fluid from the Ditto machine and passing out flyers quietly to amongst their weird little cells, and they weren't talking about it at the cocktail parties, that somehow we had achieved victory. It's sort of like the audio that I'm not going to play for you, I don't think, maybe not, maybe, who knows, of Donald Trump in Mississippi, sleazing and sliming and scumming all over Dr. Ford. And the breathless hot takes of the for-profit media this morning and all day long saying, what kind of country have we become? Who are we as a nation? We're who we've always been. There's always been about 30% of the people who are dumber than dirt and meaner than hungry feral hogs. Only now, as Hunter Thompson, the prophet Hunter Thompson, peace be upon him, once said, the hogs are in the tunnel and they will travel on a road of bones. They've always been there. We've always been that country. But they have, we were, I guess, lulled into some sort of sense of false security by the fact that, well, I mean, I was just a little baby journalist when Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, was railing about the Democrats and putting out his word list and all of that shit until he finally got his hands on the reins of power, and put out his contract on America. It's always been there. It was there with Ronnie Reagan saying, we have just declared the Soviet Union to be illegal. The missiles fly in 5 minutes. In front of an open microphone! It's been there since 1948 when Strom Thurmond split away from the Democratic Party because there were rumblings that maybe people of color might be afforded the same civil rights as white folks, the folks who were supposed to have them. It was there when the bomb was being built for the Baptist Church in Birmingham. It was there in an earthen dam in Neshoba County, Mississippi. It was there when they were wrapping a cotton gin fan and chain around little Emmett Till. It was there when it got hold of the reins of power, and nuns were raped and murdered in Central America by people that we had trained to rape and murder nuns. It was there when Bishop Romero was slaughtered. It was there when we supported the ouster of Pinochet of Allende in Chile and installed Pinochet instead. And again with the soccer stadiums. We have always been what these breathless, powdered, pampered panjandrums of the for-profit media are wringing their hands and clutching their pearls about. We have always been the people who sit there and chuckle and laugh out loud as Donald Trump sleazes and slimes and scums all over a rape victim. We have always been that country. Or some portion of us have been. And that 30-35% of the country that is that way has quietly operated under cover of darkness. Until they could get their way. Until they could come out and march with their tiki torches and slaughter activists. My God, at one of our concentration camps, nooses were found. We've always been that country. The howling and shrieking that you hear out of the racist white wing in this country is no different than the howling and shrieking that they were doing all over the slaveholding South in the immediate years running up to the beginnings of the Civil War when they started it. They're the same people. The same attitudes, the same mindsets, the same degree of ignorance and viciousness. We are that country. Robert in Australia says, the idea of a theocracy horrifies me. Having been sent to Catholic school for 13 years, the idea of a theocracy just horrifies me. Enough said. It should horrify most anybody. Robert continues and says, I'm currently watching The Untold History of the United States. Don't spoil the ending. Oops. My bad. Megan says, theocracies. Aren't the Middle East countries theocracies? Don't they have religious police? But they keep declaring war on these countries. I'm confused. Yeah. Israel's a theocracy. Iran is a theocracy. Saudi Arabia is a theocracy. Iraq is a theocracy. And yeah, they've all got varying degrees of religious control over government, and that's what a theocracy is. God government. Government by God, or by people who proclaim themselves to be speaking and acting on behalf of God. In regard to what Arnold said about, you know, who then are the Greens, James in Illinois says, the Green Party is a device with admirable aims supported in no small part by Republicans. Absolutely true. David in South Carolina Stan says, our Republican MAGA governor said we are sending thoughts and prayers to the victims' families there from the shooting where David lives. Of course, thoughts and prayers just ain't going to do nothing about it. Lee in New York, subject line, John McCain. Don't forget the unforgivable actions by Senator McCain. One, he defended Barack Obama when he was asked about his opponent being an evil Muslim Kenyan. And two, he killed the Affordable Care Act repeal. Either is offensive enough. Put the two together and McCain is a rhino. And, of course, in their fantasy world, he was executed by a military tribunal. Did you ever wonder why they were so supportive of the military tribunals when those things were started under Dim Leader? Don't wonder anymore, do you? Let's go back to nine-fingered Frodo, Liz, and a little more.
Like a canary, and gave up the goods on other people. Now, why did he sing? He sang because they agreed to let him die this phony death for his family and for appearances. But I truly believe it'll come out that he never had brain cancer. When he wore the boot, he possibly was wearing, an ankle monitor. And, it was so obvious he didn't have brain cancer.
So obvious he didn't have brain cancer. So that business about he was allowed to have a hero's funeral and everything, anybody care to tell me where that comes from? Because it's straight out of real history. It'll tell you a little bit about who they're studying, these white wingers, and where their hearts lie. Because there was a man who was tried by a military tribunal and executed for his offenses against the state. Yeah? Anybody? There's some latency involved in the internet. Not quite like over-the-air broadcasting, but... So my query should have reached by now. Let me check the chat room here, see if anybody else is getting... No, nothing in the chat room. Nothing in the email. Well, here's the answer. General Erwin Rommel. Rommel was caught participating in the attempt to assassinate Hitler. Hitler's henchman went to Rommel and said, "Here's your choice. We can try you publicly and find you guilty publicly and execute you publicly. And then we're going to execute your wife and your family and everybody around you. Or you can commit suicide. And we will come up with a plausible story of how you died. We will give you a hero's funeral, and your family will survive." It's not like the Germans came up with that, or the Nazis even. Swords were periodically sent around under the emperors. Sejanus under, was it Tiberius, became notable for encouraging certain offensive Roman nobles to off themselves. If you weren't a noble, you just had your ass killed. But the fact that people like this freak, Liz Crokin, and the other freaks who are promulgating the John McCain military tribunal myth so fervently believe it, tell us, yes, they want a theocracy, and yes, they want an authoritarian, totalitarian, fascist dictatorship. Who's Liz Crokin? Liz Crokin's nobody. Liz Crokin's never been on Morning Joe. Liz Crokin's never showed up on the ABC Evening News or the CBS Evening News. Liz Crokin's nobody. All of these people are nobodies. But they're well-funded nobodies. And they're well-funded nobodies who are all repeating the same message to a varied audience. And it has it has some stickiness to it. Laurel, who is our Horn Apocarev correspondent, says it takes far less than 30% of cells in the human body becoming cancerous to bring about death. It feels like we're in hospice with our thumb on the morphine drip, just waiting for the moment when the overwhelming pain commands us to slip away into our long, dark night. I mean, I joke about being a little ray of fucking sunshine, but Laurel's a past master at it. And it doesn't even take 30% of the American people to bring this about. As Lee in New York notes, these people are really, really white. Well, they are that, and Lee references a story about some dirty skullduggery perpetrated by the campaign of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. I mean, this is a real humdinger. The Cruz campaign has been busted trying to produce a filthy ad. Where's John Pritivo when I need him? One group believed to be Secure America Now, which is an ultra white wing. And the text I'm looking at says dark money group. I'm going with what Alexander said. Henceforward, I'm not using the term dark money. This is an ultra-conservative white money group that got behind an ad it was going to produce in which they advertised for voice talent on a site called Voice Bunny. For someone who could do a passable Middle Eastern accent. The person doing the passable Middle Eastern accent was going to read, "Hello, I am Hassan Rouhani, President of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Today it is my pleasure to endorse Beto O'Rourke for U.S. Senate. As a congressman, Beto was a strong supporter of President Obama's Iran deal, which gave billions of dollars to my country of Iran." No, really. Voice Bunny pulled the ad, refused to participate. They wanted to run that ad because the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America campaign, is in real trouble in Texas. Because, as one of his chief funders has noted, nobody likes him. Democrats don't like him. Republicans don't like him. Little bitty babies that haven't even been born yet already know that they don't like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. And so they were more than happy to engage in this filthy skullduggery. Lee in New York says, "These people are so homogeneous, it's like the lyrics from the Patty Duke show. They laugh alike." They laugh alike, they walk alike, all at times they even talk alike. Well, thank you. Lee says, "You have so much more talent than right-wingers." I'm mightily pleased by that, Lee. Thank you very, very kindly. That's very nice of you. And then there was another thing, a couple of weeks ago they got caught mailing notices, fake notices, the Cruz campaign did, mailing fake notices to voters that were disguised as summonses, official court documents. Well, it's happened again. Texas Civil Rights Project has tweeted, "We've received word that voters in College Station, Texas, are receiving an illegal mailer warning them of a $500 fine if they don't remove their Beto signs. They state, this is not correct. We are actively investigating. If you received a mailer, call us 866-OUR-VOTE, 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E. Citation warning. Any Beto signs must be removed or you will receive a $500 fine. This man is not worthy of running for any office in the state of Texas. Here are some quick facts about this individual. And then, you know, a bunch of filth. Oddly enough, it's postmarked via the same place where the headquarters of the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, booger-eaten future king of America, anointed campaign is headquartered. So, and again, they do this every election cycle, and nobody ever goes to fucking jail for it. Yes, as a matter of fact, Ron in Raleigh wants to know, hey, wasn't that another distant relative, wasn't that old Mahmoud Kincaid? Yes, it was Mahmoud Kincaid. You know all of us Kincaids, don't you, Ron? I think Ron's collected the entire set. Action figures, trading cards, and everything. Ron also notes, subject line, Jesse Lee Peterson. And you thought that Uncle Ruckus was a fictional character. Another handkerchief-head, chicken and biscuit-eating Uncle Tom. Jesse Lee Peterson. James in Illinois. Iranian theocracy. They worship God's cousin Allah, the black sheep of the family. Randy in PA says, I'd heard that John McCain was born in a Panamanian hospital and not even the canal zone, thus making him technically ineligible to hold the office of president. Well, that's true. If he'd been elected, they would have let him be president. But yes, he was born in a hospital that was outside of the canal zone. He was born, you know, Barack Obama was actually born in Merca in the state of Hawaii. That's why Hawaii's abbreviation is H-I, Hi, Hawaii. But John McCain was actually born outside the canal zone. He was born, he was Panamanian. But, and that was documented. But, you know, that's so 18th century one, presidents to be born in Merca. But the little mumbling that got, as Randy points out, triggered an idea in the mind of the White Wing because, you know, White House. So, back then to Liz Crokin. I know you're sick of her. I am too. But she's kind of a clue. By the way, Steve from Georgistan says, word on the street is Mahmoud Kincaid is highly collectible. especially the Mahmoud Kincaid Thai beanie baby. The market is through the roof on that. You people. So, remember, nine-fingered Frodo, or Liz, wants a theocracy.
I didn't even retire, so he has brain cancer, and he's still running around the world and, you know, flying to and from D.C., not a care in the world, seemed super healthy and normal. Give me a break. He did not have brain cancer, people. He did not have brain cancer. So, the members of the cabal, they know the truth. They're still lying to the sheep. They're still lying to you. They're still using the MSM to lie, but they know what's going on. They understand what's going on. They know that President Trump is taking them down. They know what he meant when he said, this is the calm before the storm. They know what happened to John McCain. So they're freaking out, and their biggest concern right now is what's going to go down when the mass arrests happen, and, you know, are they going to be tried in civilian courts and military courts? And they want to be tried in the civilian courts because the courts aren't completely cleaned up, and, you know, the only last hope they're going to have when these people are arrested is to get off on some kind of crazy technicality. And so that's why they want to be tried in civilian courts, but Judge Kavanaugh...
The bartender, I'll have another one. It's a little bit difficult to get all the way through one of these. Oh, one of these clips without having a little snort. I'm sorry. I've tried really hard. But, you know.
I said, no, it'll be military tribunals. So that scares the crap out of them because the military doesn't mess around and the military is not going to be sloppy and the military isn't going to let any of these scumbags who were involved in raping children and trafficking children get off on a freaking technicality. They're screwed. They know it. And the bottom line with Judge Kavanaugh is once he is confirmed, it's over. He is the final nail in the coffin that needs to happen to lead us into the mass arrests and then the military tribunals.
Well, gosh, I feel so much better about Brett now, don't you? I've had a few notes today. Dustin asked me earlier, hey, did your attempt to thwart the alert test today work? No, it didn't. I forgot. I got busy. I was on my way to work, and I got a notification and realized I've been hacked by my own government. Well, you could say it that way. You damn sure could say it that way. And a lot of the country was sincerely pissed off at the idea of getting a message from the president. It didn't play well with a number of people. There, you know, some fun little tweets over on Twitter. But some people were thrilled to pieces about it. Who was thrilled to pieces about it? Oh, it doesn't even require guessing, does it? Yeah, I know. On the one hand, you had responses like that of Dustin there, who said, my phone's been hacked by my own government. Essentially true. Other people said, let's see. What in the ever-loving son of a bitch is the goddamn president doing texting me? This is all caps. I did not sign up for this horse shit. Remove me, fuck nuts. Like, I don't hear enough about your dumbass already. Somebody else who is a little more sober side said, imagine if someone hacks and weaponizes the presidential alert, nationwide panic, misinformation. Another individual said, wait a minute, how do we know that message is really from the president if it's not full of weird capitalization and name-calling? Hey, fucktard, at real Donald Trump, take me off your contact list. Fuck off, you narcissistic twat, you just woke me up. Feels like some sort of Nazi propaganda machine was just brought online. Somebody created a screenshot. Presidential alert. I hereby resign the office of President of the United States. Sincerely, Donald J. Trump. The only alert I want to see from the president. But that was on this side of the issue. Over on the other side of the issue, you know, among the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, the maggots. Well, one person on Twitter said, "Presidential alert just caused a loud cheer throughout the shop. I heard a guy yell, 'QAnon, we're ready at Donald Trump, sir.'" Yeah, because, see, the QAnon goobers immediately ran out and counted the number of words. Let's see. 17. There were 17 letters in the thing that was sent today, the test message. And they all pensively picked their teeth with their toenail clippings for a little bit and then went, "Wait a minute. 17? 17? I mean, it ain't 88 or anything like we was hoping for, but 17? There's 17 words in the presidential alert test message, and Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. It's a sign. When he's ready for us to get all a-going and make America really great, that's how they'll do it. They'll send it out in a text message to the whole country. America, the greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, in the universe, today, now, forever, under God. Dang. And then they said, see there where it says no action is needed? Well, it's just like we say, trust the plan. No action is needed. That means that God Emperor Trump and the military is already in control, and there's already holding their military tribunals, and they done executed John McCain. Uh-huh. We're ready, Mr. President. Just don't ask us to march too far, okay? On the other hand, apparently the test message crashed the fuck out of AT&T's wireless network. Over at the Grants Pass Daily Courier, Scott Stoddard, who's the editor, said that AT&T phones now seem to be having trouble getting any data connection since the alert went out. Interestingly, I'm with Verizon, and instead of showing that I'm connected to the Verizon network, it just says extended. It's said that since 2:18 p.m. A lot of people posting that the AT&T system went to shit immediately after the message. AT&T has released a statement. They said that they were able to send the alert out with no problems. We are aware of an issue affecting wireless data services for some customers in parts of the Washington area. Our technicians are engaged and working as quickly as possible to resolve the issue. This is not related to the presidential text alert. No, really, It's not related to the presidential text alert, we promise. And it's not like we ever had a little closet in an AT&T office somewhere in San Francisco where we were hoovering up all the data for a long time and managed to get that lawsuit dismissed because, well, national security. Well, I added that last part. It kind of grieves me a little bit. I'm not complaining. I'm kind of grieved. It kind of when I tell you what these wing nuts are up to, I'm not playing. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Is that McCain conspiracist crackpot for real? Where's my bourbon?" Oh, I'd go straight for the stump liquor if I were you, Darlene. This ain't no ordinary maggotry. P.S. The half-hour phone call to myself worked beautifully to avoid this afternoon's mobile phone rat-fuck hack attempt by Geezer Disgustus. Thanks for the tip. Happy to help. I just wish I hadn't gotten it. The stress line got it. This got it. The boss got it. Leah New York says 17. 17 words. Q is the 17th letter. The chief of control, get smart, was Q when he was an agent. That meant Maxwell Smart is keeping us safe. Missed it by that much. As clear as day. Ixnay on the ear, Clay Elay. What, do you want people figuring it out? Marty says, I tried to avoid the text alert. I failed. I know. Frustrating, isn't it? But I did do some reading. Apparently there is a lawsuit in motion. I don't know what's going to come of it. It claims that this bullshit is a violation of both the First and Fourth Amendments. It is compulsory. It's A, an invasion of privacy without a warrant, and B, compulsory political speech. Meanwhile, Alexander says, I better be careful about the people I speak with about our plans to revitalize the Black Panther Party to overthrow the federal government. Damn COINTELPRO has come back. AT&T's involved in this insanity. This is exactly why I'm very upset about the FCC's overturning the net neutrality laws, and the people of this nation sat back and allowed them to do it. Stupid fuckers. Well, let's be fair. AT&T's involved. Verizon's involved. Sprint's involved. U.S. Cellular's involved. T-Mobile is involved. Funny how we don't want to have, the Republicans don't want regulations until they want a regulation that allows them to get all the way into your cell phone without even trying. Then all of a sudden, well, no. Now, I've been filibobstering for an hour and 53 minutes. We're 7 minutes short of the top of the hour for the third hour of the program. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you're more than welcome to do so. Area code 304-574-8178, 304-640-2829. Toll free from anywhere in Canada, the U.S., or Mexico. We're still waiting for our first call from right there on the marges of Hudson's Bay. But those are all available, as is Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And let me note that we started the program with $245 to raise for the evening. We made it to $235, thanks kindly to Brother Steve and Sister Karen and Little Twiggy and Little Cletus. And they have had no company at all this evening. They would very much like to have some company this evening. And it would be very nice not to be talking about $435 tomorrow. Because I've got bills. Lots and lots of damn bills. And we always do. So, $435, could we 235, and that way it's just 200 tomorrow. It's nice if we can keep on track, and it takes a hell of a lot of the stress out of this program otherwise, because that's the primary source of stress, is worrying about whether or not the program's going to be there. And so, you know, pretty please. Let's run over, wait a minute, Earther with an email. 17. And what's 1 plus 7? 8. And twice that? 88. I rest my case. Wait, someone stole my case from my car last week. Oh, I hate numerology. I do. But yeah, 1 and 7 is 8. And twice 8 is 8. Earther, you're a little too good at this shit. I worry about you sometimes. Let's run out to the left coast and check in. Is that you, Tracy?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm going to start off with food porn today.
Oh, goody.
So yesterday, I decided to, we couldn't decide what we wanted to eat for dinner. So Jan was talking about bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. I'm like, okay. So that's what we had. But I didn't use lettuce. I used spinach and then added avocado and egg. But here's the topper.
Wait. Back up. No, wait. This was going to be a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, and you did what?
I used spinach instead of the lettuce.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And avocado and egg on toasted white bread.
Like fried egg?
Mm-hmm.
You win.
And yes, we used Wonder Bread. Is that about as white bread as you can get?
Well, I was lucky. I was up at the Wiggling Pig the other day, and they had a whole bunch of Pepperidge Farm bread on sale for $1.25 a loaf. And I got some farmhouse, farmhouse hearty white. And I got some seedless rye and some marbled rye.
Ooh.
And it really, really nice stuff. And of course, I have to go across the river to get that California gold miner sourdough. And I love that stuff. Mm. That's my favorite. I mean,
but
it's tangy.
Go ahead.
No, it's just tangy and I love it.
Here's the kicker. Guess what I used for my spread?
Oh, did you?
Wait. It's even better than just plain mayonnaise. Private Selection black garlic aioli.
Yeah, see? Okay, she's converted. And it wasn't hateful, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It was delicious,
I am so
even.
Mad. Oh, shut up. Whatever.
Agnes made me a grilled cheese the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't find the new mayonnaise that I'd bought. And so she used that.
She didn't throw it out?
No, this time we actually ran out. It's the first time it's ever happened that she didn't throw it out because, you know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You're just trying to make me sleep on the couch. That's all. But no, she used the Private Selection garlic dill aioli, and it was fan-freak.
Hey.
Oh, it was good on a grilled cheese with the sourdough.
Ooh, see, I don't like dill. Dill and I don't have a happy relationship.
Oh, I'm a dill maniac. I love me some dill.
Don't have a happy relationship.
Dill and tarragon in plain old tomato soup. Woo!
And I sent you the picture of the Parmesan chicken with the spicy garlicky sauteed spinach.
Yeah, you've been on a kind of a spinach binge, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's not
spinach
a bad binge to be on. That's yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm channeling my inner Popeye.
You know, I just got to wash the hell out of it because, you know, corporate spinach.
Yeah, because, you know, salmonella and whatever, E. coli. That was the one, E. coli. That was what was killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight's meal, and I got my Dutch oven.
It did arrive.
And it's beautiful. It did arrive yesterday. So today I'm doing short ribs, which I browned them in the oil this morning. And
beef or pork?
And after they were, beef. And then once those were, took the pap, I rubbed them with paprika, cayenne, salt, and pepper.
That's a win.
And then browned them in canola oil, set them aside, and throw in the chunks of carrots, onions, and celery. Stir those up so they were kind of soft. Then added flour, and then tomato paste, and then a bottle of beer, and then a little brown sugar, and diced tomatoes, and what else? Beef broth, and let that get all thick and ooey and gooey, and then put the short ribs back in, bone side up, and throw them in the oven for 4 hours at 325.
Oh, man. So did you serve them over like mashed potatoes or rice or anything like that?
Oh, no, here, because it's still early here. So right as we speak, we have sweet potatoes cooking in the oven, which I'm going to mash with a butter and maple syrup concoction.
Oh.
And that's and serve the meat over that.
Ooh, that's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Isn't that sexy?
Yes, it is. And well, and by the way, with those little beef short ribs, I love them. They can be a little greasy. They can be a little, but they're velvety and satin with the fat,
Oh yeah. Yes. I tasted them, and because I took them out the oven a little while ago.
Well, there's a thing,
they're good.
Back when we would do a standing rib roast at Christmas, and I hope to get around to doing that again. You get it with the bone on, and you do the standing rib with the bone on. But then when it's all done, I prefer to use an electric knife to do it, you carve those ribs away, and you wrap them up, and you save them for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently this is a very English thing to do. There's no mayonnaise involved, so we're good. We're good. But you take some good Dijon mustard, put it in a bowl.
Okay.
Fold in some horseradish.
I was about to say, where's the horseradish?
Grind in some fresh black pepper. Add in a little bit more mustard powder for kick, and then a few crushed capers. And you paint the ribs. You paint those leftover ribs with that mixture. And you use a little bit of like half and half, just to make it creamy. And you paint it with all that, and then you run them under the broiler till they're hot again. And those are referred to as deviled rib bones. And they are so good. So you don't have to do a standing rib. You can get those plate ribs just like what you did yours with. And like parboil them till they're nice and soft and workable, and then paint them and run them under the broiler. And whoo, oh my goodness.
Well, the chicken that I did, what I did the rub with that was cayenne, paprika, salt and pepper, and minced garlic. Rub the chicken breast with that.
That's
and
heavenly.
Then, fried, and then fry those until they were brown on both sides.
Yeah. See, the thing it seems like I always screw up chicken breasts because you can dry them out in a heartbeat. So I usually wind up preferring to work with legs and thighs like I did on the grill last week.
I understand. But because I used to do that too, but if you cook it just right, because, I cooked them on both sides for like 3 minutes just to get them golden. And then what I did, I lined a bacon sheet and covered them with Parmesan cheese. Baked it for like 15, 17 minutes. And then once it melts, the cheese melted, then I turned on, because my oven is one oven. And so it has the broiler inside the oven too. So once they were, kind of brown, and then I turned on the broiler for about 4 minutes to get them golden. And like I said, and the spinach, what I did with that was thin slice garlic and saute that with olive oil, and then threw in the spinach batch at a time. And when I did the last batch of spinach, I threw in some pepper flakes and salt and pepper.
Wow. That's just righteous. I've been, you know, I've been thinking we're coming up on chili season and I've been having a hankering for brisket. I'm thinking it may be time for me to make a pot of that from scratch chili that I do, and share it around. Oh, it's flaming hot, but it is so good. It is so good, and I'm just looking for an excuse to put a brisket on the acorn. I can't help myself.
Just come out with the truth, Bob. You're just looking for an eclectic.
Because I haven't done one since New Year's.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, they run about $60.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky because short ribs are expensive as hell. And just so happens I was at Ralph's, or Kroger or whatever, Ralph's Monday. And they had meat, you know how sometimes they mark down meat because they got to sell it that day.
Oh yeah,
and
the manager
marked down short ribs.
Live by the manager special. Yes, I do.
I live by them too. And they had just so happens the day that I decide I want to make short ribs, they had marked down short ribs because those sons of bitches are $5.99 a pound.
Yes, they are, and the funny thing is they're not that valuable.
Well, you know, I was having this discussion the other day with Jan and my mom. You know, back in the day, short ribs weren't expensive, and definitely oxtails weren't expensive. That's what we, you know, we lived off of those things, right? And then somebody white must have got into their head. Some white chef or somebody said, these are really great. So now,
you know what? That's so funny you would bring that up, because I made two happy discoveries late night last night. And thank you for taking me away from all the filth. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, and thanks going out to Charlene. We're now down to only $200 to go. We wiped out the remainder from last night. Thank you, Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you so very much. So last night, because I was talking about how culturally irrelevant I am as far as modern television is concerned, so naturally Agnes and I sat down after the program and decided to watch something. I said, we gotta watch something, honey. I'm culturally irrelevant here. So we watched. What did the culturally irrelevant guy do? The culturally irrelevant guy fired up King Lear.
Oh, on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
How is it? How was it?
My God, it was magnificent. It was wonderful, but I mean, it's not going to be a lot of help with my cultural relevancy unless, you know.
No, you didn't watch. See, I gather you didn't watch A Million Little Things or This Is Us.
No.
New Amsterdam.
But we did commit to watching The Americans.
Isn't it over?
Yeah, it is. And so now it's safe to watch because all the other shit that I like to watch, I have to wait 15 years between each fucking season. But what I discovered...
I'm sorry.
I discovered is that right now on Amazon Prime, the first two seasons of the Beverly Hillbillies are available.
Are you serious?
And those are the two best seasons. And then there's like the first six seasons of the Andy Griffith Show. Good God, yeah. I'm so Southern and so white, but I was so excited.
Well, you know who's a fan of the Andy Griffith Show?
Who?
My son.
Oh, yay, Alex, yay.
He is, my son, he's actually so culturally irrelevant as far as TV. He doesn't really watch broadcast TV. He, you know, his stuff as far as broadcast, well, that's not even broadcast, it's cable. It's like Sunny in Philadelphia. That's the most current thing that he watches that's, you know, still, you know, doing new episodes.
But other than that,
Well, so the reason, you know, you were mentioning, you know, we lived on short ribs when I was a kid because they were, and then some white person had to discover them and ruin it for everybody. Well, we actually, see, this is what happens in the vast hive mind of the Horn Family Community Congregation, all right? So, you know how you the other night you sent me the email saying, get out of my brain?
Right, right.
Well, you know, get out of my brain, because... Because I was watching the Beverly Hillbillies. It was the very first episode. By the way, if you watch, so the first episode there on Amazon Prime is actually the pilot because it's called The Hillbillies of Beverly Hills.
Oh.
And instead of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, it was just the Beverly Hills Bank because it was just a pilot. But the one thing, if you can find the original pilot, you find out there are references that make it much more of a fable. Because in the original pilot, it ends with Milburn Drysdale on a psychiatrist's couch recounting what he's been through. Because apparently people think he's crazy. These people can't be this way. So that's one thing. But anyway, early in the first episode, remember Mr. Brewster from the oil company? Well, he shows up at the cabin there, and Jed says, I ain't even asked you if you want to stay to supper. What are we having, Granny? And she says, greens and possum innards. And even though it's in black and white, you can see, you know, the guy who played Mr. Brewster turning a little bit green around the gills. And then comes one of the great lines of all time, as far as I'm concerned. He said, no, I can't stay. I've got to get back to Tulsa. He said, well, if you come back around tomorrow, we'll be having leftovers. And, you know, that's the thing about greens and possum innards. They're twice as good the next day.
Sorry, Kimba!
Kimba kind of hot.
Mother of
God. Uh-oh. Tracy, did I lose you?
No, I'm just Kimba is losing her shit.
It must be somebody Kimba doesn't like outside. I think we'll find out in a minute. What it was that was
the mailman.
How did I know? I was going to suggest the mailman, but anyway, the best thing about possum innards, greens and possum innards, is they're twice as good the second day. But the get out of my head Tracy part is late because it became a running gag through that series. What Granny was cooking, and it was always some sort of hillbilly fare, and it usually involved possums or, you know, whatever. But the second reference to Granny cooking was, well, what are we having, Granny? And she said, grits and hog jowl. And Agnes and I were talking, and I said, the funny thing about the grits and hog jowl is that there are people in New York paying $70 a plate for that now.
Yes, they are.
Because, peace be upon the memory of Anthony Bourdain, poor people's food always winds up being the best food. Whether it's the gullah cooking of the low country of South Carolina and Georgia, or whether it's the simple hillbilly fare of the hills, or the fact that, you know, up in New England once upon a time, if you got stuck in the slammer, you know what you had for lunch every day or for dinner every day? Lobster. Because lobster was cheap and it was deemed to be a throwaway food. No kidding.
Not anymore. Yeah, I think Alex told me about that, about back in the day, Christmas used to get lobster for dinner until somebody decided, hey, this is good. Because like I said, you go to any decent soul food restaurant back in the day in the 70s and the 80s, and you had short ribs on the menu. And you, and I'm sorry, there's no way in hell that short ribs were not, because if they were expensive, they wouldn't be on the typical soul food restaurant menu.
Neck bones, Tracy.
No.
Neck bones.
Neck bones. Well, neck bones are different from short ribs.
Yeah, it's different, but it's the same principle.
That's true.
It's the folks that food that the wealthy people didn't think was fit to eat. Same with ribs.
Same with ribs.
Got to get all messy. Eat it with your hands, and you know we can't ask Miss Scarlett to be getting her hands on her food, because then, mercy sake, she might get something on her gown there for the barbecue at Fair Oaks.
Because Jam makes a mean oxtail soup.
Oh God, I love oxtail soup. They used to keep oxtail at the local Wally World, and then they quit.
Yeah, I can't. We have to go to the Jam does. We have to go to like the Armenian market now to get. When I used to live with my mom, when we lived over by USC, there was a market called 32nd Street Market. And, you know, that's where we would get our greens for a dollar, you know, four bunches for a dollar, and eggs for the, you know, 99 cents. And they had a meat department. So that's where we would, you know, they had the butcher, plus they still had, you know, meat like it's supposed to be in the cellophane, wrapped in cellophane. So, but they would have oxtails and short ribs and stuff like that, you know, for like $1.50 a pound, if that, you know. But now $5.99.
Oh, and see, oxtail is so wonderful to make a soup out of, because there's that sort of collagen gelatin factor there, and it just naturally thickens the stew. Oh. Yeah,
Jam puts barley in hers.
That'd be good. That'd be really good. That'd thicken it up. I love barley in soup.
She puts barley in hers.
Let's see. We've got a couple of notes here. Ron and Raleigh just wrote and said, I remember when Granny asked whether you liked your possum falling off the bones tender or with a little fight left in him. Yeah, a lot of possum references. But that grits and hog jowl thing, hog jowl is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
For anybody,
hog jowl this way. Is hog jowl the same as hog maw?
Hog who?
Hog maw.
M-A-W?
I think it's M-A-W-L.
If it's M-A-W, the maw is the mouth. So, yeah, jowl comes off that lower cheek area.
Okay, so they're probably the same thing. So, yes.
And the fat on hog jowl behaves differently than the fat in bacon does. It's the same idea. It's cured, it's smoked and everything. But you get hunks of hog jowl, you got to take the skin off the back. You save that for your next pot of beans.
Right.
And you want a razor sharp kitchen knife, and you start slicing that stuff. And the fat, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But grits and hog jowl, yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm sure there's some godforsaken restaurant that in New York that's selling it for $50 a plate or 70 or something like that. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Or L.A.
Even here. I mean, you know, I used to love chitlins. But ever since my grandmother died, I haven't had chitlins. Shit, my grandmother died.
People who haven't had. Okay, one, it's got to be done right.
That's why I haven't had chitlins, because I only trusted my grandmother cleaning chitlins.
And I remember Sandra calling once upon a time a million years ago, saying that, you know, come Christmas, you better beat her to the pot, you know, when the chitlins come out, because they're delicious.
With crystal hot sauce?
Sure. Yeah. Hot sauce generally, but yeah, crystal. Well, you know, you can put crystal in vanilla ice cream, but I'm weird that way.
You're so weird.
Have you tried the strawberry jalapeno on vanilla ice cream yet? Have you, Tracy?
Not yet.
Matthew, but yesterday I bought some Breyers vanilla ice cream because it was on sale. And so I will probably be having that for dessert tonight.
It's
but remember, I told you that's what we had. I made, Jan made a roast on Saturday. And then Sunday, I did a hash with the roast and potatoes, you know, plenty of garlic and onions, fry that up, and then added the meat and, well, the potatoes first to get them kind of soft, and then the meat, and then, you know, and then we had biscuits with the French, salted French butter, and the strawberry jalapeno jelly.
And it went over like great guns.
It was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. It was just so good. It was just like.
I want a little pat on the back for this. I wasn't kidding. That stuff's delicious.
Okay, I'll give you props. I will give Bob. Okay, for the world to know, Bob Kincaid told me about Smucker's strawberry jalapeno honey spread. It took me a while to find it. I had to find it on the Walmart website, but I found it. And it was only $2. It was like $3 for the jar. So, and I had to buy some other things from Walmart, my work pants, so I wound up getting shipped for free. So, yeah, very happy with that.
I bought the last jar of this stuff up at the Wiggling Pig today, and I don't know when I'm going to see it again. I'll probably wind up having to order it online, too, but I can't get along without it anymore. You know, I told you I made homemade barbecue sauce over the weekend.
I haven't had any sandwiches yet. But Alex has had sandwiches with the Wickles sandwich spread.
Oh, that stuff's good. Yeah, I'm looking for more of that. That's special too.
I got that from Walmart as well. By the way,
you know what that strawberry jalapeno would be good with? Even if you have to go out to a restaurant and get it done and bring it home or order it in or whatever, Monte Cristo.
Ooh, it would be.
You know,
like a breakfast sandwich.
Deep fried thing going on, and yeah.
Do they even still? Well, the restaurant that I used to get Monte Cristos from, well, I haven't had one of those in 1,000 years because the other thing I think of is a heart attack at this point. But there's a restaurant, there was a chain. And the one by my house closed, Millie's. They used to make a mean Monte Cristo.
I haven't seen a Monte Cristo on a menu in ages, but God, they're so good.
Yeah, I just told Jan the Millie's is. She's like, this one up the. I'm like, no, baby, that one is closed. I drove by when I was on my way to work the other day. I'm like, Millie's is gone. It's one of those places that, you know, would have the breakfast scrambles with the big hunks of potatoes and stuff like that.
Now
it's gone.
Yeah. That's like, you know, the really great Jewish delis where you can get the thin potato pancakes with the lacy edges and the sour cream and the applesauce. I'm a heretic. I do sour cream and applesauce.
No, that's what we do. What do we have? The potato pancakes. That's what we do. Jan and I, when we go out for breakfast, then we get the potato pancakes. And we get the sour cream and applesauce.
And by the way, so here's another tip. For people who have Bojangles, and I can get burned out on Bojangles pretty quick, but they've got these little...
That's the fried chicken place, right?
Yeah, that's the fried chicken place that isn't anywhere near as good as Popeye's. But because they took all the spice out of their chicken. They've got these things they offer called bow rounds, and they're like little potato, they're like little round tater tots, but they've got onion in them.
Ooh.
And I love nothing better, out on the road, you know, I'll stop and get a little tub of sour cream and a little thing of those little, you know, portion-packed applesauces, and I'll treat those bow rounds like little miniature potato latkes, and they're fantastic.
Leave it to you to turn something that is wholly Southern, nowhere near Jewish, and if the Ku Klux Klan knew what you were doing,
they would probably never eat at Bojangles again.
You know, I've actually, at my Bojangles over in Fayetteville, I've actually converted some people, not to any religion, but I've told them about the sour cream and the applesauce thing, and I've walked back in, and the woman behind the counter's like, I tried that. That was delicious. I can't eat them no other way now.
You corrupted people. Hey, you did the Manchurian Candidate, Bob.
What?
Are you Angela Lansbury?
I don't know. Are you feeling like going and playing some solitaire right now, Tracy? What?
When I was listening to that on my way home, and I was dying. I'm like, what the entire fuck? Are you fucking serious? So look what you did. You planted the seed in these people. You did was it a Vulcan mind meld?
Well, you know, they send the local Fayetteville police for you if you try to reach across and do the mind meld. So I try to avoid that at all costs. And there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Whatever I could do to help.
Oh, and by the way, in that first season of Andy Griffith, you know, I mentioned that I have a hard time committing to shows now because you have to wait 15 years between seasons, and the seasons are only like six episodes long.
Six episodes long. Ugh.
And it's like, you know, fuck all y'all.
It is so annoying, especially British shows.
Yes, here's three paltry episodes of Sherlock Holmes. Fuck you if you don't like it.
Also, I was about to say out of my head, fucking Sherlock Holmes. And I had never even heard of it, and then I got sucked in, and now they're like, oh, maybe we'll bring another episode. Or did you ever watch Luther?
Yes, yeah, same.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's another
one.
Oh,
by the way, the guy who played Moriarty in the BBC Sherlock Holmes, that brilliant, brilliant actor, whose name I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either.
Was it? Is it Jim Broadbent?
It's not Jim Broadbent.
No, he plays Edgar, Gloucester's son, who winds up being
in King Lear.
In King Lear, yeah, and he's brilliant. And there's, let's see, I mean the whole cast is magnificent. I've never seen Emma Thompson in a role where I didn't just love Emma Thompson. But she is so absolutely viciously, hatefully poisonous as Goneril. Oh my God!
I don't know anything about King Lear, but I other than it's Shakespeare.
Well, it's really Anthony Hopkins plays Lear.
Well, it's Anthony. Come on, Sir Anthony Hopkins, get it straight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot about that whole drubbing business. Who else? Tobias Menzies, who did such a
don't know that name.
But he was the villain in the first couple of seasons of Outlander.
See, I didn't watch Outlander because isn't that on Stars? I don't have Stars.
It's you can watch it now on like other stuff.
Okay.
He's in it. The whole thing it's just brilliantly, and it's not done back in the running around in tights with feathers in your no.
Is it a modern adaptation?
It's a modern adaptation, mm-hmm. And it's 2 hours long. Which means they've cut considerable amount of it. Yeah, they've cut a considerable. But oh wow, is it good? But what I was saying is that here's 6% little episodes. Now we'll wait 15 years for the right. Do you know how many episodes there were of the first season of the Andy Griffith Show?
How many?
Like 32.
What?
That was one season. We forget that's how it used to be produced. And the same, you know,
32 episodes?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Because on average now, I think it's about 20 episodes a season on American television.
13?
13. Because, like, remember I told you I started rewatching Justified.
Right.
And, man, watching it, because, like, the first season, was it the first season? I think this is about the first season. It's, like, about a year into when I started listening to the show. And, you know, it struck, because that's when I first heard about mountaintop removal and stuff like that from you. And so, but now I'm rewatching it, and it's just, it's so, you know, it's so topical now. And with the, you know, the oxy and all that.
Yep.
And I'm like,
I also, but I also blame Justify for ruining moonshine around here.
Why?
Because
the, I don't even know.
Because you remember the references to the wonderful apple pie moonshine?
Yes, apple pie moonshine. Yes, that was the second season.
Yeah, that's sweet. And so all the moonshine around here all of a sudden got sweet like some sort of fucking peach schnapps or something. Moonshine is not sweet. Now, if it's made well, like if you say if it's made with pears, you can get the essence of the pears. Or if it's made with raisins, you get a real nice grapey kind of grappa cognac thing going on. But it's not supposed to be something you can pour on your damn pancakes. And no sooner did the second season of Justified come out than everybody, all the shiners around here were just pouring a ton of sugar into their shine at the end of the run to sweeten it up.
Aren't I the one? Because you hadn't watched Justified until I told you about it, right?
No, you're responsible for that.
It's my fault. I take full responsibility. I'm sorry.
By the way, Earther sent us a note. Subject line: Chitlins in Colombia. In Colombia, chitlins, or its Colombian equivalent, and Earther does not provide me with the word, are quite common. Is that chicharrones? I don't know. I don't think it is. That's not chicharrones.
Chicharrones is the fried, skin.
Yeah,
pork rind.
Right, in Colombia, chitlins or its Colombian equivalent are quite common in places where roasted and grilled meats are served. Us being a third world country and all, we don't stick our noses up so much at those sort of things. No. And Ron in Raleigh sent me a note a little bit ago. Aside from the other markets nearby, I've never mentioned, but there's an international market where all the Latinos shop, and they stock every part of the hog except the squeal. I love...
From the rooter, from the rooter to the tooter?
Oh, absolutely. There's one of the... Back when we were doing a lot of work with Ake and staying out in Manassas because we were trying to live as cheap as possible, there was a huge... It had formerly been some other kind of grocery store, and then it became an international market. And you can buy everything in there from phone cards for calling India to virtually every fresh produce, fruit, and vegetable that grows on the planet, all manner of fish. They did homemade kimchi that you could buy in a 2.5-gallon bucket, and I did.
Oh, yeah.
25 and 50 pound bags of every kind of rice, and yes, everything but the squeal in a pig, bizarre looking fish, and the cookware. Oh my God, Tracy, they had stock pots that you could do fucking laundry in. I mean,
yeah, that's like it is. I mean, that's one of those beautiful things about living somewhere like LA, because we have, like you said, international markets, and then we just have straight up carnicerias, you know, and Asian markets, and like in the Hispanic markets, like you said, they have those stock pots that you could probably pretty much cook a cow in. They're just that big, and they're cheap.
And I love the Indian section with all the frozen version of all the breads, so the hillbillies can just mm-hmm. take it home and do it. There's one of them called paratha. You ever had it?
Yeah.
It's real sticky, and you do it in an iron skillet, and it puffs up real pretty. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, like I said, we have Indian marks. See, you like it. Okay, so out here, there's this market called John's. And John's is basically the international market. And then there's Vallarta, which is the Hispanic market, where you can get, you know, anything from South America to Central America to, you know, Belize, Cuba, whatever. And then there's several Asian markets. And I felt the other day I've made a stir fry, chicken stir fry with yakisoba.
Ooh, yakisoba.
Yeah, yakisoba noodles that were in the refrigerator section.
Yeah, see, they had fresh yakisoba at this international market in Manassas, and I brought that stuff home. I brought home buckwheat soba, which you serve cold with that the thin dipping sauce, and oh my god!
So it's because I did that stir fry the other day with chicken and I made a sauce with soy sauce. Little honey and, you know, cornstarch, and then pour that over the chicken and had mushrooms, bok choy, onions, red and green bell peppers. What else? Oh, and broccoli. And did that up with the noodles. And see, when I feel like cooking, I do that.
It's such a joy. By the way, we got a lot of memories turning, and we got a lot of minds. Flavio a little bit ago said thank you, Tracy, for the respite from the sordidness. Also, thank you, Bob. My late father's favorite Shakespeare play was King Lear. Now I've got to read it again. If you can get somebody to give you their password to Amazon Prime, you really want to watch this version. It's really quite good. Flavio also said, "Poor people's food. Look at how expensive pizza is nowadays." Well, yeah. And then Keith said, "About 15 years ago, I could buy a case of baby back ribs for about $30 retail. Nowadays, they're $4.49 a pound." Yeah, and you know, it's worth remembering. Because I kind of made a little bit of a thing out of it. But, you know, a few years ago, the People's Republic of China bought Smithfield Meats.
Oh, yes.
And that, to the best of my knowledge, they never sold it off because, you know, they gotta, you know, talk about loving pork. And so, you know, there's 6 billion people that want, you know, pork across the pond.
Not a Muslim among them.
Nope. And so...
They be swining and dining.
That's right. And so now all those hog lagoons, or a lot of those hog lagoons in North Carolina and Mexico, remember the hog lagoons in Mexico from a few years back where they were pretty sure...
I didn't know about that, but you were talking about it about a week or so ago after the hurricane, and you were talking about, you know, the stuff that was going on. I sent you a message about the hog lagoons in North Carolina that are, you know, with the innards and the blood and all that stuff.
Yeah.
A
lot of those things, which are now improperly maintained, are owned by the People's Republic of China.
Yep.
Just worth remembering. By the way, Lee in New York checked around. He said, "Sorry, Bob, I can't find hog jowls in New York City, but I found the 15 best places for grits in New York City. I bet you one of them Sylvia's." They've just attached some Italian or French word to them, but yeah, somebody somewhere, is serving hog jowl in New York.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. And like, you know, poor people's food. I do remembering the one time I watched Anthony Bourdain, because I'd never even watched the show before until you were talking about the episode that he filmed in West Virginia. And of course, I had to watch because, you know, you in West Virginia, and I'm like, I had never seen that, you know, watched his show before. So I'm like, well, this is a perfect introduction, and the show was great, and he was eating squirrel. I you know, took everything I had to not throw up, but I'm like, okay. There's certain things.
And by the way, his final episode that just aired a couple of weeks back on Sunday, his final episode was Kenya.
Really?
And it was just, it was beautifully done.
Was Barack Obama's family there, the Kenyan Muslim usurper?
Actually, no. Kamau Bell went with him to Kenya.
Oh.
And it was...
I like him.
I do too, but it was just beautifully. It was as well done as everything else was, and it's just it's still, you know, and there's a lot of tawdry shit coming out about things that his significant other was doing, and you know, he paid off. Bourdain paid off a guy that she sexually abused.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And that story just, you know, won't go away.
Well, it's about, you know, I mean, Me Too swings both ways.
Oh, by the way, the guy who played Moriarty was Andrew Scott.
Okay.
Because Darlene in Connecticut had said Martin Freeman. No, that was Dr.
Martin
Holmes.
Martin Freeman was Dr.
Holmes. Right.
Oh, yeah. I like Martin Freeman. Really cool, funny stuff. Funny with.
Yeah, and Randy and
I like
PA.
Martin Freeman.
Randy and PA points out the first season of the Andy Griffith Show, I think, had no Don Knotts in it. Yeah, I don't think he shows up until later on.
How can you not? It can't be Andy Griffith without Don.
Oh,
Knotts.
But it was. And the sixth episode was the Romeo and Juliet episode, and it was delightful. To the Southern drawl, hillbillyized telling of the story of Romeo and Juliet. And Juliet.
Yeah, Andy Griffith was from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, Mount Airy.
Yeah.
Mount Airy. Mount Airy, okay. North Carolina. Colombian chitlins are a chunchulo. No, I'm sorry, not chunchullo. Two L's there. That's a Y. Chunchullo. It's actually beef intestines, not pork. I don't know that. I didn't know that, but suspected. Has to be nice and hot or the fat solidifies, and then it's not so good. Kind of like cold cheese pizza ain't so good.
Mm-mm. The cold Mexican is good.
Oh, well, yeah. Please.
Yeah. see, this is the things that we do, because for the last week, I mean, especially what's been going on in this country and listening to that Mississippi, just totally disrespecting Dr. Ford. But what's really pissing me off, when I was watching, because I wouldn't dare have to like that on my television, but it was on the news this morning. What was upsetting me, and I think you pointed this out, were the women that were cheering. And there was this one older woman that was giving him the thumbs up. And I'm sitting there, like you said, now, are you going to have the same attitude? If that happens, something like that happens to your daughter? Or to you, or to anybody that you love, because that's the kind of shit that this is what's wrong. It's like, really? This serial abuser is talking shit about, you know, Dr. Ford. Well, she didn't remember and all this and blah. Just last week, he was saying how her testimony was compelling and heartfelt and blah, 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 blah. And now he's basically calling her, he's basically calling her a liar, and the other asshole is calling, you know, she's, you know, a victim of mind control because, you know, the left. I wish, you know, Bob, I wish we had as much power as they claim we have. Because
you'd probably be making a little bit better use of it, wouldn't you?
Yes. I would be anyway. You know, but, you know, this is some horse shit. These are they're shit, you know, what is it? batshit crazy.
Yeah, well, there's that. You having mentioned it, I guess it's time for us to go back into the swill.
Damn it. See, I was trying to say, we only have like 15 minutes left. I was trying to stay away from
I
that.
Know, but you done did it.
I could tell you right now that I'm standing over the stove with melted butter about to pour maple syrup in it.
I heard the sizzling. I heard the sizzle. everything... What I was kind of throwing a fit about earlier, America's always had people that were just that nasty in it.
And
for the people who go, ooh, fucking Hillary, you know, she gets a little bit more right every day.
Every day.
When she said that half of Donald Trump's supporters were nice people, but the other half were Nazis and Klansmen and skinheads and racists, and that she referred to those people as deplorable. She was right. She was way right. And we just learn it. Every time Donald Trump goes out on tour, we learn it. Hey, by the way, there were, I think there were something like 16 Nuremberg rallies. Trump's up past 30. Just for anybody who's keeping count. But after that sleazy, tawdry, filthy business that he engaged in Mississippi last night, well, it just so happened that the Atlantic Festival is taking place in New York City, hosted by, it's hosted by the Atlantic Magazine. It's a festival.
Oh, cool.
It's a festival of ideas and thinkers and people who know what which fork to use with the shrimp and which fork to use with the oysters. And so, for some reason or another, they invited Precious Lindsey Graham to come out from under the fainting couch and talk about Kavanaugh. Now, I gotta encourage you to be careful because I know you're around hot grease and everything.
Yeah, like I said, butter and maple syrup, Bob.
Well, butter, yeah, butter's grease.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, butter and maple syrup, so not only is it going to be hot, but sticky.
Oh, good. So, yeah, if it pops, it'll have adhesive qualities. How lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So, he showed up there, and he was asked, I think the editor's name is what, Jeffrey Goldberg? And asked him about Dr. Kavanaugh. And get the hockey puck, okay? Here we go. This is going to take a few minutes.
And now, here's my job. To counsel the president when he asks for my advice, help him where I can and say no where I must, and try to take the good faith the people in South Carolina put in me and use it wisely, and I will do that.
Okay, so if the president...
Without apology.
If the president is listening to you right now...
And he could be, because he watches a lot of television.
Yeah. If he's listening right now, what would you say to him about his performance last night in which he openly disparaged a person who is alleging that she was a victim of sexual assault by a Supreme Court nominee?
I said, hey, I can figure this out. Everything he said was factual. He's frustrated his nominee has been treated so
factual
badly.
Factual is a personal degrading attack on someone who is a private citizen.
You know, here's what's personally degrading. This is what you get when you go through a trailer park with a $100 bill. You see, this is not the first time this has happened.
That's actually a reference to something somebody said.
In James Carville. See, most of y'all are too young to remember this. The bottom line is, I know what can happen to a woman who comes forward in a political environment. Dr. Ford, I thought, was treated respectfully by Ms. Mitchell. I'm glad she did it. She was boring. Boring's okay. So I've been a prosecutor most of my defense attorney and judge before I got in this business. For every woman that comes forward, God knows how many never say a word and take it to their grave. Sometimes people are accused of something they didn't do. So President Trump went through a factual rendition that I didn't particularly like, and I would tell him knock it off.
Yeah, he would tell him, Tracy, but he hasn't told him. And if he tried to, he'd probably faint and fall back over and maybe drown in his flaming rum punch.
Well, then if he did, he wouldn't become the next attorney general.
Right. And then there's the business about, what's her name, Rachel Mitchell, Aunt Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next day after that tawdry performance, and she had written her filthy little memo that talked about nothing but Dr. Ford and said nothing about Brett Kavanaugh's tirade, right, or its impact on his credibility. She was actually seen out hoisting beers. Now, get this. After a hearing that was all about alcohol abuse, to a certain extent, she's seen at a joint on Massachusetts Avenue called the Union Pub. I know the Union Pub. It's one of the nearest watering holes to the Dirksen and Hart Senate office buildings. And he was with staff from she was with staff from Grassley's office, and they were just yucking it up and having a high old time. The Union Pub is the little joint where, on one of our trips to D.C. working on the AIC Act, we were near there too, and we'd walked around the corner, Ferg and I, just to get some wings. And so we were sitting there waiting on our wings, and a rat the size of a possum ran between our feet at the Union Pub.
Ew.
So, you know, when I read that, I thought, well, you know, birds of a rats of a feather.
They're among company, you know. Jesus.
But yeah, she was boring. She was brought, you know, Aunt Rachel was brought in to do a hit job on Dr. Ford. So let's check back in with Lindsay now, shall we? If you didn't thoroughly hate Lindsay yet, by God, you will in a minute. Oh, and by the way, did you notice that he can't talk about Brett Kavanaugh without a back reference to the cleanest hunt?
No, I don't. What do you mean?
When he said that line about dragging $100 bill through a trailer park.
What does that mean?
That's a reference to something James Carville said. He said that James Carville, during the cleanest hunt, said that you can get all kinds of stuff if you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
So there's, you know, there's Precious Lindsay back referencing, and God, he was a frothing at the mouth, foaming monstrosity during the cleanest hunt. And that's what it's all about for him. He's still living back then. And basically, he's on the same page with Brett Kavanaugh, saying that somehow or another, this is a vicious vendetta for the Clintons. Hillary laughed it off the other day and said, how about that? We managed to set all of this up today, 36 years ago. Aren't we something? But, so, here's a little more.
You're not helping. But it can be worse. You can actually kill somebody's cat and puncture their tires.
Again, a reference to the allegations coming out of the Arkansas project that was funded to the tune of millions of dollars by a right-wing piece of shit by the name of Richard Mellon Scaife. So,
I have no idea what we're talking about.
What he said?
I don't even understand what that means.
Well, you don't remember Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick, so you don't. I do.
Well, I don't remember the thing about the cat, but what's the point? The point is that Donald Trump could have said something even worse, so we should be thankful.
The point is that we've come a long way. Come a long way since 1990.
All right, it's fine.
No, wait a minute. Whether you like it or not, I really don't care. Here's the point. I have seen what happened to these women. In 1998, it came forward. I don't like what the president said last night. I'm the first person to say, I want to hear from Dr. Ford. I thought she was handled respectfully.
Now, wait. He wants to hear it from Dr. Ford, but he announced before she ever said a word that he'd already made his mind up and he wasn't going to believe her. So he can take, I want to hear it from Dr. Ford, roll it up, turn it sideways and stuff it up his ass.
Because, why do you have to turn it sideways? I think you should make sure it's the full width of it.
Semantics, Tracy. Semantics. I understand.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, he's a raving, flaming hypocrite.
And flaming being blatant, anyone?
That's been going around South Carolina since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. But nobody's gotten around to formally outing him yet. So, there you go.
I thought Kavanaugh was treated like crap. Yeah, well, boo yourself. Here's what
Look, I'm going to ask you to please be respectful of this conversation so we can have the conversation.
That's
Thank
right.
You.
So be respectful of the guy who doesn't have enough guts to stand up to Donald Trump. They booed him for saying that Kavanaugh was treated like crap because, in fact, Kavanaugh was treated gently. It was Kavanaugh who came into that goddamn hearing, Tracy, spewing and spitting and shrieking and snarking and having a fit and blaming Clinton conspiracies and openly showing disrespect for every woman on that panel. You'll notice he got shitty with the women, not so much the men. He got shitty with the women, just like Trump does. Oh, but boo yourself. Boo yourself. It is what I've said it is, Tracy. It's just a raw exercise in blunt force political power, and they're going to start the process on Friday, no matter what's in the dummied up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up, ginned up, supplemental inquiry, because they can't even call it an investigation done by the FBI. They're going to start the process on Friday in putting that son of privilege on the court. And then Katie Barton.
The one that said that he got into, wasn't he Yale or Harvard? Which one is
Yale,
it?
Yale. I worked my tail off. I didn't have any connections.
To mention that his grandfather was.
He's a legacy. He's a legacy admit, just like Bush. So, yeah, that.
I tell you the goodness, these people, they have no shame. None whatsoever.
No, they don't have any shame, because if you have shame, it gets in the way of that naked exercise of blunt force political power.
Do you think they're all sociopaths?
I don't have the the training to be qualified to make that call, but.
Well, just for, as a layman.
I think there's something about them that's psychologically compromised. Otherwise, they wouldn't behave the way they behave, because they put politics and power ahead of human decency. By the way, since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, I do have one little announcement on the way out the door here, Tracy. We criticize the religion people a lot, but I have to give credit where credit's due. 100,000 U.S. Christian churches have demanded the withdrawal of Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination. 100,000 congregations and 45 million churchgoers across an array of Christian denominations in the U.S. have called for the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to be withdrawn. That's the National Council of Churches. They said Judge Kavanaugh exhibited extreme partisan bias and disrespect towards certain members of the committee and thereby demonstrated that he possesses neither the temperament nor the character essential for a member of the highest court in our nation. Then they went on to mention his outright falsehoods.
Okay, if we take put Dr. Ford's accounting aside, he's a liar. If Dr. Ford never came forward, he's a liar. He has, didn't he say, and he trafficked in stolen goods and with the baseball tickets and whatnot and so forth. And those things alone should have disqualified him. Right there, right?
You would think, yes.
I'm just saying.
Not saying, just saying.
Just saying. So there you go. See, my sweet potato mash, my mashed sweet potatoes are done. Thank you for talking me through that.
Oh,
I got to take that. The aggression.
Yeah, there will be a food porn photo, won't there?
Oh yeah, most definitely. There would definitely be, and these are good. They're not overly sweet, but you could definitely taste the butter and the maple syrup. Yeah, this is going to be, I'm excited.
Oh, you should be. I'm starving now. And, you know, it's too late for me to get anything at this hour.
See, this is the beautiful thing about living in L.A. I eat it because it's 9 o'clock where you are, right?
Yeah.
I can still have food delivered. At 9 o'clock at night, just saying.
I can't get any food delivered here because I live in the middle of nowhere. Now there's a good description, Brother Deacon Asa, continuing on an earlier theme. Kavanaugh looked like a fucking snarling possum that was backed into a corner at that hearing. Yeah, I thought the spitting was an especially nice touch. As we head out the door, Darlene in Connecticut, subject line beer. Trump said Kavanaugh had difficulty with drink, and yet he expressed empathy for him and that Kavanaugh should still be confirmed. His mockery of Dr. Ford about all the things she could not remember was prefaced with how she had said she had one beer. She only had one beer, yet she couldn't remember several things. Trump actually threw out into the marketplace of ideas the implication that either Dr. Ford was lying about how many beers she actually had, or that she, in fact, has the problem with drink because of all the things she had supposedly forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And look, as this goes on, one word from classical antiquity, Maenads, Maenads, Maenads.
And what does that mean?
The Maenads were dedicated to the service of the god Dionysius. And at certain festivals, they would go into a wine-soaked, possibly drug-induced frenzy of the god. And when they did that, they would tear a male limb from limb to tiny pieces as an act of sacrifice.
Ooh, sexy.
Maenads. They're just whether it be Lindsey Graham or Donald Trump, or John Kennedy from Louisiana, who is a turd in his own right.
Yeah, he's special.
Because I got this from him. Stand by.
What I'm hearing from the voters in Louisiana is that enough is enough. They don't believe that anybody is in good faith right now in the United States Senate. They believe that there are some good people who are United States senators, but my constituents can't quite figure out what they're good for right now. They don't understand why, after 40 hours worth of testimony, hearing Dr. Ford, hearing Judge Kavanaugh, 6 FBI investigations, now 7, a full investigation by the Judiciary Committee, more stalling and restalling and bad faith, that we haven't voted. And frankly, I agree with them. I'm not prejudging the FBI report, but it's time for the senators to be senators, for women to women up, men to man up, and let's vote. Stand up in front of God and country, and you either believe that there is no due process left in America, or you don't. I happen to believe there is. Now, I'm not saying that this is any country for creepy old men. It's not.
Except he's going to vote that it is. Woman up, Tracy. Woman up. Woman up and support the alleged rapist. Woman up. Time to woman up and support and support the guy who got in bar, who gets in bar brawls, who's been credibly accused of not just one, not just two, but several events of sexual impropriety. Woman up, Tracy. And just as we head, I keep saying, as we head out the door, one thing. America does not have a woman problem. America has a white women problem. Like I pointed out, 52% of white women in America heard Donald Trump say in his own voice that he commits sexual assaults and voted for him anyway. And 52% of white women in West Virginia are saying, hey, I heard a woman testify that Brett Kavanaugh pawed her, but I want Brett Kavanaugh on the court. And, of course, there's the 65% of white women in Alabama who said, hey, yeah, Roy Moore's a pedophile. Roy Moore creepered and preyed on innocent little girls. But, hey, he's against abortion, and he's a Christian, so I want him in the United States Senate. That's the problem we have in this country. We got a white women problem in this country. Kind of hard to evade that, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, time to get out of here. Thank you for a lovely conversation, Tracy. Thank you very much. And dinner is going to be fan-damn-tastic. I just know it.
Yes, it is. And good night to you and everybody on in the Horn family.
All right.
And I will send pictures.
All right. Do that, please. yeah, put them up over on the Horn group page. That'll be awesome. Later.
I will.
Bye later. Now. Our buddy Tracy, the lady cab driver out Los Angeles way. And so there we are at the end of Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Again, thank you to Steve and thank you to Charlene for jumping in on the fundraising this evening. Looks like we'll have a $400 fundraising goal tomorrow. I will update that at the beginning of Thorn in the Side Thursday if it has gone down at all. Thank you so very much, everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening for taking one for the team, Sparky, and moderating in the chat room. Thank you very much. I know it's a sacrifice, and I appreciate it. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.